Trust you all have your Bibles this morning. Let's open up Romans chapter 8. We'll read several verses here, beginning with verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, maybe peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. We've been discussing Christian liberty, and the opposite of that is Christian victory. Our liberty in Jesus Christ is a result of the victory that Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. And this morning I'd like us to consider and put together these two separate ideas. The idea of a war that has been fought and won, and the liberty that results as a result of the person or the armies that have fought the battle for us. There are two ways to look at liberty. You can look at liberty in the literal physical sense. We pride ourselves as a country of being a free country. Nobody oppresses us and nobody enslaves us. We consider ourselves to be free people in a physical, literal sense. Spiritually, we've been discussing here in the last couple of days the line and the difference and the area between Christian liberty that is a result of the grace of God and what the grace of God has done for us. And on the other side, the constraints that the law puts upon our life. And in between, we have a certain amount of freedom, as we have discussed, all to live within the context of what Scripture teaches us. And in our series in Ephesians that we're going through on a weekly basis, we've been discussing the word submission, submitting ourselves to the laws and the ordinances and the commandments that we find in Scripture. And so we find that there is a relationship here in Scripture. In verse 35, we find here a description of the experiences that Christian people and the people of God have always experienced throughout history, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And Paul asks a question. Despite all of these things that seem to trouble us, can any of these things separate us from the love of God that is expressed to us in the gift of grace that God has given to us that results in the freedom we have? And the freedom we have spiritually is from the bondage of sin that we once lived in. So we have been freed and we have been liberated from sin that used to enslave us, that used to bind us with chains. The expression Paul uses here is the yoke or the bondage or the yoke of the bondage of sin. The yoke is something that was put on a pair of animals when you wanted to have them work for you. It was put on the neck of the animals, and then you could control their movements and have them plow your field or do whatever work you needed to do. And then Paul goes on in verse 36 and quotes Psalm 44 in the Old Testament about the experience of God. For your sake, we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep that are going to the slaughter. This quote, it represents what the people of God have experienced throughout all of history as a result of godly living, righteous living, holiness, being separated and dedicated and committed and consecrated to living the Christian life. And there's always a conflict that occurs when you live a godly life. Jesus himself said that if you live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. And so in the middle of the description of the Christian experience, being killed, being in famine, being persecuted, being in need, being in danger, Paul compares our life to the life of a sheep. Now, you all know a little bit about sheep. You know that sheep are not very smart animals. They require a shepherd who will day and night take care of them. Sheep require protection by their shepherd. during the day and during the night from all the wild animals that want to make them their dinner or their lunch or maybe their breakfast. And when sheep are led to the slaughterhouse, when sheep were led to the altar in Jerusalem, they would very often follow single file and follow one another. And not one sheep would ever get out of line, but they would go straight to the hand of the person that would slaughter them. They're not very smart. They're very submissive. They're very difficult, very easy for a sheep to get lost and to get into trouble. And so comparing our Christian life to the life of a sheep, Paul says, and now he compares us and he compares sheep to the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. On the one hand, it is so easy to conquer a sheep. On the one hand, as Christians, we are oppressed and we are persecuted and we are killed. And that has been the experience of godly people. And on the other hand, in verse 37, Paul says, but no matter all of these things, yet, or because of all this, because of He who loved us, we are more than conquerors. And that's what I'd like us to think about this morning. The fact that we have Christian liberty, the fact that we have freedom from the yoke of sin is a result of the liberation that Jesus has provided for us by His sacrifice on the cross that is liberated from this. Now stop and think about what this word means. More than conquerors. In English, this is three words. In the Greek, it is a whole group of words. We call it a compound word. It is several words put together to give us an idea. The first word, more than, in the Greek, is hooper. And in English, we get the word super out of this. Now, when you go to McDonald's or you go to a place, you order a regular meal, and then they ask you if you want to supersize it. Make it extra. Okay? So the word, it means to be over. It means above. It means to be beyond. It means to be more than what is normal. And Paul is saying is we are not just conquerors. We're not just victorious in our Christian life, in the way we live our life, our holiness and our righteousness, but we are more than conquerors. And the word conqueror in the Greek is nikao, and in English we get the word Nike from it. Now those of you that wear Nike shoes, you know that their motto is, if you wear Nike shoes, you will win the race. Very interesting that they would take a Greek concept, a Greek word, translate it into English, and then we can stand here today and quote the one verse in the Bible that uses this Greek word. It's not used anywhere else. It's only used right here. And Paul says that even though, like sheep, we require the help and the care and the protection of our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23, right? But despite all this, despite the danger, despite the vulnerability we have as sheep, at the same time, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, and as we've been working our way through Ephesians, remember chapters 1, 2, and 3 detail and describe the Christian for us, who we are in Jesus Christ. Chapters 4, 5, and most of chapter 6 of Ephesians describe to us the Christian life in victory. And then yesterday we read the end of chapter 6 of Ephesians where Paul describes the armor of the Christian. That when we use it, then we have victory over the schemes of Satan that he throws our way. The word from Greek is translated the methods of Satan. Satan has his ways. He has his darts that are like fire and his arrows that he shoots at us. But despite everything that Satan throws our way, we not only are conquerors over Satan, we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors because of the super victory that Jesus Christ won for us on the cross when he gave his life as a sacrifice for us. Now stop and think about this war that we are in with Satan. Satan is our super enemy. And despite the fact that he is strong, despite the fact that he is cruel and evil and he gives us all of these opportunities to sin, despite all that, we are conquerors way overwhelmingly beyond anything that Satan can throw our way. Remember that the power of Satan is limited. He is not omnipresent like God, where God is everywhere. Satan is not omniscient, does not know everything like God knows. And most of all, Satan is not all powerful like God is. And the very God at the moment of our salvation has given us the Holy Spirit who lives in us, teaches us His Word, and gives us the power to live this victorious life that enables us then to say that we are free or we have liberty in Jesus Christ. Now that is what God does for us. But we also have a responsibility on our part. Paul says, put on the armor of God so that you would be able to stand in the evil day. And having done everything within your power to stand, you will remain standing. You will stand firm. You will not waver. Your knees will not buckle. You will not give in to this inferior power called Satan, because you have the power of God Himself in your life. It's important also to note that when you live a holy life, when you live a righteous life, that Satan will pay attention to you and will start to oppress you not only spiritually, but physically. Look at Job. Look at Daniel and his friends. Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, right? His friends got thrown into the furnace of fire. When we come to the New Testament, you read about the believers that had to give their life and their blood and became martyrs for Jesus Christ. I would recommend you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs that describes many experiences of Christians that are like the sheep here that Paul says were led to the slaughter. But despite the fact that Satan oppressed and persecutes through the world, persecutes us for our godly and holy and righteous lifestyle. Despite all this, Paul uses the word in verse 37, yet. Despite, no matter what he throws at us, we are more than. We are super conquerors through Him who loved us. As you read Romans chapter 8, we find Paul takes us from our salvation to eternity. From our justification to our glorification when we come into the presence of God. And in between is grace and liberty. And in between is this thing that we call life. And we have the liberty and we have the freedom to live a holy, godly, righteous life for the glory of God. Remember Satan when he rebelled against God. What did Satan want to do? As you read Ezekiel, as you read Isaiah, Satan repeatedly says, I will, what? I will ascend and sit higher than God Himself. Remember Jesus Christ? What example did He give to us that we follow? We read Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus, being God, He humbled Himself, became a man, way, way down. He allowed us to crucify Him, to kill Him. And God, as a result of His humbleness and His obedience, has now highly exalted Jesus Christ above all names, above all powers that exist on earth, and us through Him. And so God takes us that are created a little bit lower than the angels, and He will glorify us and allow us to sit with Jesus Christ and reign with Him in eternity in the very place that Satan tried to get into by rebellion. And God allows us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to live this life of victory and then be exalted with Jesus Christ. I close with what John writes to us in chapter in 1 John. He says, beloved, we are children of God, but yet now we don't know what we shall be. But when Jesus Christ is unveiled to the world, when He is revealed to the world in glory, then we will be revealed and glorified with Him. And so the theme of our conference is the liberty with which Jesus Christ has set us free. And I leave you with these thoughts that Paul says in chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast. Stand firm in the liberty with which Christ has liberated you. And do not once again become entangled under the yoke of sin that Satan presents to you. May God bless His word. Amen.